Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
On such a dreary day outside, it sure is nice to see a happy couple and a happy congregation inside here. We're just glad that you all come out to worship with us this morning. Of course, many of you and most of you and maybe all of you know Brother Garnet and Katie. And we're just so grateful to have them here today to, well, to just hold and love and just enjoy the fellowship. And they always bring a blessing to our church each and every time they come. Do we have any other announcements at this time? Anybody that might be here that wasn't here previously, look in your mailboxes, because Tracy back on Valentine's Day made a couple little decorative things and put in there. So if you haven't been here for a while, please look in your mailboxes back there. And also, we got some guests with us today, and it's always good to see Johnny and Pat back with us, and we're just happy to have everyone here. And John's been going back there for a couple weeks, and we're just glad to have him back too. But I know there's many others that will be needing prayers, and so we'll have that come up in a bit. At this time, we'll have our prelude, please. Thank you, Maxine. That's always, you always come up with such beautiful, beautiful music for us and songs. One person I forgot to mention is good to have back with us, and he does have a walker. I thought he walked in without it. Ralph back. That's great. Glad you're doing well. Okay. In our call to worship this morning, we're looking at Psalms 99:9, if you'll follow along with me, please. And it says, "Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy." You know, you can't get someone that's worth much more than that than to be holy. With that in mind, let us just have a little prayer at this moment. So let's bow our heads. Oh, Father God, you know, circumstances do change, but you never do. I thank you, dear Lord, for always being constant in our life. We can face all adversity with you by our side. Father, you are our strength. You take away our sorrow and you give us peace. Oh, Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus this morning. Amen. At this time, we'll have another hymn or a music video, whichever you desire to call it. That last song, I could almost pass away with that being on my mind. That was so pretty and so comforting.
Thank you.
Alrighty, this time we have any joys or concerns that you'd like to share? Pat?
Yeah, I had a cousin, Albie Stein Jr., passed away unexpectedly this week, so I keep his family in our prayers.
I'm trying to think, what's it? Stein?
Stein, yeah. Albie Stein Jr.
Yeah, okay. Okay, Frank.
Brother, it's glad to see you, Brother Garnet and Sister Katie with us this morning, and I'm sure we'll get another wonderful message as we always do.
Amen.
We're really looking forward to it. Also, I want to remember we have some neighbors that just lost a husband, and we want to keep them in our prayers, as well as there's several people in our community that's been suffering from various types of illnesses, etc. Of course, we're in a generation there where you can almost expect that, but we put our grace in the Lord. And we want to also remember our children and our grandchildren. There's so many different things in life that takes priority in their lives, and we just pray, Father, that they will come to know the Lord and worship the Lord and praise the Lord and give Him first choice. And also our nation of America definitely needs our prayers. Things that look like they're going to be taking place, it's not going to be in accordance with the will of God. And we just pray that the Lord will inspire some to change their hearts and minds and to become come closer to God's will.
Amen. Amen. Danny.
Update on my mom. She's doing much better. They checked her numbers on Thursday. They haven't gotten the results yet. But they're still postponing the chemo for now. And my neighbor's wife is off life support and back home and doing much better. So prayers definitely helped her.
Thank you. Others, please. Well, my joy is that, like Frank said, if when the brother gets up here to minister, if that's anything like the homemade ice cream you get when you go to his house, boy, it's going to be wonderful. So if you ever get up to St. Thomas area, don't hesitate to stop in. Any others, please? If not, let us humbly come before the Lord in prayer. Any way you so desire. Father God, this morning as we come to you, we are grateful for the opportunity to be able to be in your house, be able to share this worship with so many loved ones and friends. Father, that's what it's all about, caring and sharing for one another. And Father, as we think about those that have been lifted up this day, we praise you for those lives because we know that there are so many that have joys and there are many others that have pain and suffering and whatever the ailments might be. So Father, we think of Albie Stein here this morning, and as he passed away, I think he was 74, and you know, anytime you get over 70, you start to wonder what's going to take place, especially when the ill feelings set in. But Father, bless him and the family that remains behind for comfort and peace. And Father, we just thank you for Frank's neighbors and for his children and grandchildren and all that he has in mind that he cares for and needs and has concerned about them. So Father, we lift hands of mercy upon those and for gratitude to be placed in their hearts to receive the kindness that you have that only comes through the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we thank you for them, that they might be receptive to your will. Oh, Father, again, our nation is in trouble, and America itself and the people that just place their own minds and their own works into actions rather than abiding by your will. And, Father, we would love to see prayer get back into school, and the Pledge of Allegiance, and even reading the Bible. And Father, how much Oh, how much good this would do as time goes on. Oh, Father, we look to you for the guidance, and we just pray that the guidance would be bestowed within our leadership that tries to keep America safe. And Father, we just know that the only time it will really be great again is when you step into this world and take us home. Oh, Father, we think of Danny's mom. We think of his neighbor's wife that is improving. What a blessing that is, and thank you for your touch upon them. Oh, Father, how well it is received when we start to feel a little better from the impairments that we have. Father, I ask for myself that you would continue to be with me and strengthen me as I go. Oh, Father, thank you. And Father, as you've heard that, and if I feel your spirits touching my heart, I praise you. Father, we also want to again thank Brother Garnet and Katie for being here, for the service that they provided throughout so many years and got to know us, and now we're just family. And Father, we praise you for their presence, and we pray that you would give him strength this day, Heavenly Father, to be able to administer the service that you put in his heart and to have it come out on his lips that he expresses so well. So, Father, may your blessings be upon both this day for their kindness in sharing their lives and their ministry with us. Oh, Father, we are so grateful that we are in your presence always. And we just thank you again that we've had to cancel a couple times this year, Father, but today it's just showers. And we thank you for the showers of blessing that brought us to this point. Oh, Father, with all that being said, we just lift you up and give you the glory. And Father, we just thank you and praise you as we all share in the Lord's Prayer all together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And amen. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't say it, did I? I was counting. Thank you. Can you just imagine what power it took to do that? To save the Israelites and get them to freedom? He's got it all. In our scripture reading this morning, it comes from Exodus 7, 1 through 7, and 8, 16 to 19. So the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you as guide to Pharaoh, and Aaron your brother shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and Aaron your brother shall tell Pharaoh to send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I may lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I stretch out my hand on Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them." Then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. He wasn't any youngster, were they? So the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your rod and strike the dust of the land, so that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and stretched and struck the dust of the earth, and it became lice on man and beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all of Egypt. Now the magician so worked with their enhancements to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice on man and beast. Then the magician said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart grew hard, and he did not heed them, just as the Lord had said. Amen. And how do you think Brother Garnett got his title for his message today? This is the finger of God. And so right now, let's not only give him a finger, let's just give him a warm welcome and invite Brother Garnett to complete the ministry. Thank you, Brother Garnett.
Thank you, Bob, for those kind words this morning. And it is good to be in the Lord's house. It's good to be here at Rocky Ridge. We have some fond memories of this congregation over, I would say, about 50 years. About 50 years, probably. Some of you that are here weren't even around then. But when Ralph and Elva were here is how we got here to start with, and had I don't know how many revivals over the years, and was here in between revival time, and just learned to know and to love and appreciate many of you here. A lot of the older ones that used to be in the benches here are not here anymore. They've gone to their long home, and so every one of us are on a journey, and the Lord only knows whether it's few of us. Sitting here this morning, people sometimes want to know how old I am. And I thought this morning, as Brother Bob read the scripture, I'm just about a Moses. Just about a Moses. How old was Moses? 80. If I live till next Saturday, the good Lord willing, I have a birthday. I don't remember that. But that's what my mother said. That's when I was born. And the next day or so after that, we had a real snowstorm. And hopefully we won't have any. Maybe spring is almost sprung. I told Katie the other day, I looked out the back window of the house there, and I saw a robin. And I called Katie. I said, "You come over here." I said, "You know, the Bible says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, And so she could witness as well that there was a robin in the backyard. So that is a sign that, you know, spring will soon be here, around the corner. Officially, it'll be the 21st or so of next month. But God is good, and we're glad that you're here this morning, and appreciate the brethren even thinking about me and inviting me to come and preach. My preaching days, most of them, are past and gone. But God is still good. The Bible is still the same. The Word of God that I started some 50-some years ago to preach out of. Don't use the same Bible anymore. I wore a couple out. But that Word has not changed. God has not changed. He is the everlasting God from everlasting to everlasting. The Bible, I said, is still the Word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but He says, my Word will not pass away. Jesus Christ is still the same, the Savior of the world. Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so things haven't changed. I haven't had to change my message. It's still the same gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation. As Brother Bob said, our subject for just a little while this morning is on the thought of this is the finger of God. Now, if you would have read from chapter 7 here on through some of the following chapters, you'll see what God was trying to do using Moses and Aaron, the prophets, to minister to the people, to get his people to go out of the land of Egypt. It had been prophesied that they were going to spend a period of time, 400 years or so, down in the land of Egypt. When Joseph went down, you know, was sold in and ended up down in Egypt, his brothers got rid of him, tried to destroy him, told his father when they got back, told their father that, showed him a coat that had some blood on it, and said that, you know, well, Jacob said some wild beast must have gotten him. But it was God, the finger of God, that placed Joseph down in the land of Egypt. And whenever the rest of the family, 70, I believe, went down in to Egypt of Jacob's family. Jacob's family would have been Joseph's brothers and their children and so on. Went down there to find food when the famine was in the land of Canaan. And so it was during that period of time it had been prophesied that they would spend some 400, I believe actually it was 430 years that they spent down there in Egypt. And it was time God heard, the Bible says in the beginning chapters of Exodus, that God heard the cry of his children that were there because they were under Pharaoh's bondage. They were in bondage and they were under hard rigor and under hard labor. God heard their cry. And as he had promised earlier, he was going to bring them out. He wanted to bring them out and bring them in to a better land. He had promised Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey. And so they were getting ready. This account was God preparing to bring them out of the land of Egypt and head towards the promised land. And I believe today that God is, in the same sense, preparing a people today. I believe some of the signs and wonders, they may not be quite the same that happened in the land of Egypt. All of those plagues to get Pharaoh to allow the children of Israel to go out and to do sacrifice. They wanted to leave, and Pharaoh tried to keep them there. He wanted to keep them there. I believe this morning, beloved, that God is also speaking to us in this hour and in this day, preparing a people to leave the land of Egypt, so to speak. And we're
Egypt in Scripture always refers to the world. To the world, to sin, and to bondage. And Pharaoh, a type of Satan, who is the god of this world, who is keeping men and women, boys and girls, in bondage today. And I believe there's some parallels with the children of Israel leaving the land of Egypt, with the people of God, the church of Jesus Christ, the redeemed of all ages, the redeemed which is the New Testament church in this dispensation of the grace of God, that God is getting us ready to leave this land to a place where our loved ones, many of them, have gone. A place where there is no sickness and where there is no sorrow and death and pain and bondage and sin and all the stuff that we put up with in this world. There should be a groaning today within our hearts. The Bible even says that the whole creation, Romans chapter 8, tells us that the whole creation, that is what we see. We see some beautiful pictures here this morning of God's creation. But the entire creation today is groaning and travailing in pain together until now. You wonder why there's earthquakes, why there are tornadoes and floods and ice storms and all that we have around it. I believe this morning it is the finger of God that's preparing, should be preparing the church of Jesus Christ, whether we're saints or the sinners as well, to prepare to meet God. I believe the finger of God against Egypt was God's judgment. I believe a lot of these things that we're seeing today is God's judgment upon a nation and upon a world that has forgotten God. Brother Bob prayed this morning in his prayer about our nation. It was mentioned we need to pray for our nation, but I believe there is a travailing in pain. And it says, even we ourselves also groan and travail. God, but Bob says he has some back problems. Some of the rest of us have issues that's here this morning as well. And we physically groan to have a new body. Praise God that one day we'll be fashioned like the glorious body of our resurrected Lord. There is that groaning and travailing. Well, we want to talk a little about this scripture this morning. This is the finger of God. You know, there were some of those when Moses and Aaron had went before Pharaoh and said, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh would not, the Lord had hardened his heart, would not let the people go. And so he brought a series of plagues, 9 or 10 plagues upon them. They didn't know how they were going to accomplish this thing, to go before Pharaoh and ask that the people would be allowed to go out of the land and to sacrifice. They wanted to sacrifice to the Lord. And Pharaoh, you know, after a few of these things, he said, "Well, you can go, but don't go very far." That's what the devil says today. When people come to a point in their life where they decide maybe they're going to accept Jesus, the devil says, "Don't go too far. Don't do very much. Don't, you know, you can still stay in the land, still stay in Egypt, stay in the world, but don't go too far." And on, different proposals that was made. And finally, I like what Moses and Aaron said when they decided after the firstborn, the last plague, where the firstborn of man and beast died, when God passed through the land and the blood was not applied, he says, "Not an hoof is going to be left behind." They said, "You could go, let your cattle here, let your children here. Not a hoof is going to be left behind. We're making a clean sweep." That's the way it ought to be when we leave Egypt. We're going to make a clean sweep, I'll guarantee you, when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory. The dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Goodbye, old world. Goodbye, I believe the song says. Amen. There's a better place awaiting for the saints of God. But there was a series of plagues that came upon these people. The first one was when Aaron and Moses went in and asked Pharaoh about leaving, or even before that, Aaron said, how are they? Yeah, before they had talked. I have to refresh my memory there a little. But Pharaoh, they were before Pharaoh, and Aaron threw his rod down, and it became a serpent, the Bible says. And Pharaoh's magicians cast their rod. You talk about the power of the devil. The devil has power, but God has all power. Amen. But these magicians cast their rods down, and Aaron's rod ate up the magician's rods. Ate them up, swallowed them up. Boy, that'd have been scary enough. Should have left them go then, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Wouldn't let them go, but there was a series of plagues. It was the rod. After a while, they were to pass his rod into the river Nile, and it became blood, and all the fountains and all the water sources became blood. That was the plague of blood. There were the frogs that came out from wherever. And there was the lice, and that's the one that our scripture text talks about this morning. But everything prior to that, the frogs, even the blood, when the magicians put their rod into whatever, they waved their rod or whatever, more frogs came up. They had frogs in their beds. They had frogs in their kitchens, in their ovens, and they had frogs everywhere. Devil had power. Magicians could do it. When it came to the blood was even the frogs, but when it came to the lice, their magicians could not do anything. I think our scripture text said that. The dust of the land, it was dust, let me get that back in the back of here. It says, there was no lice on man. Pharaoh's heart was hard. The magicians, they could not bring forth lice. And they said, this is the finger of God. As I said, I believe this morning, the devil has a lot of power. There's things that happen. I know the devil sometimes gets blamed for a lot of things that I think he's maybe not responsible for. I do know that sin in the world is a result of the devil, Satan tempting Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. But these magicians, when they decided that they could not imitate, they could not bring forth this lice like Aaron's rod did and Moses' rod did. They could not bring forth lice. They said, this is the finger of God. They realized that there was a power that was greater than the power that they had. I would to God today that people would realize that there is no power but of God. Jesus said Pilate was about to crucify him. He said, do you not know that I have power to crucify thee? And I have power to release thee? And Jesus said to Mr. Pilate, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. That's the power this morning that we need to fear. Fear the power of God. We don't need to fear the power of men, but we need to fear the power of God. But these magicians, when you talk about magicians and sorcery and fortune tellers and all of that kind of stuff, those things were an abomination to God. Never, never get tangled up with that kind of stuff. I'll tell you, it'll be just a step toward the judgment of God. Fortune telling and all that, neocramps here, whatever they call it, speaking with the dead and some of that kind of stuff. That is satanic, and it's a power that God hates. We're involved in spiritual warfare today. We all recognize that. The good against the evil, but God against Satan, and so on. But there is a God in the heavens today, the finger of God that is directing the affairs of men. Whether it's in our lives, whether it's in the life of our nation, whether it's in the life of our world that we live in, there is the finger of God that's giving direction, giving a course, guiding. Our God has the heavens for his throne and the earth his footstool. Now, I do recognize that the Bible says that the God of this world, Satan, is the God of this present world. But God is allowing, you know, God has the upper hand, we know that. In the days of Job, when old Satan came, the Bible says the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also. And the Lord asked Satan, he said, "Whence comest thou? Where did you come from?" He said, "From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." And then he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Job was a good man. And the devil said, "You know, he's only serving you because you've blessed him." He was a very wealthy man in that period of time. And he said, "He's only serving you because you have blessed him." I believe maybe there are those today that's just going to church and saying they're Christians because God has blessed them. I don't preach a wealth and health gospel. There are those that teach that and preach that. That if you're worshiping God, if you're serving God, God's going to bless you with houses and lands and boats and condominiums and you name it. He's really going to bless you. I don't find that in my Bible. He may bless some of the wealthy men. Some of the great men of the Bible were wealthy men that God blessed. And some of them were poor men as well. But Job says, Satan said to God, he said, "He's just serving you because you have blessed him." So God allowed Job to be tested, tempted in a sense, but tested. And you know what happened? He lost all his cattle. He lost his children. He lost his flocks and so on. He lost practically everything he had, and he was found out on an ash heap. It's all he had left. All ended up. His wife told him that he ought to just commit suicide, curse God and just die. And he didn't do that. Job was steadfast. The Bible says he did not lose his integrity with God. He still believed in God regardless of what happens. That's where we need to be. We need to believe, and whether whatever comes into our lives, death of a loved one or whatever, financial disaster, you name it. It's the finger of God that's allowed it for some reason. We maybe won't have the answers, all of them, in this life. But there is a purpose. There is nothing this morning, my dear people, that passes into our lives or into our land, our country, or into our world that does not pass through the hand of God. God's allowing it for some reason, probably no one only to him. But there is a God this morning in the heavens, the finger of God that is directing the affairs of this life. We hear sometimes the term natural disasters. Natural disasters, and some of them would be some of those things I mentioned earlier. That would mean, like floods and tornadoes and ice storms down the head down in Texas and some of those things that caused a lot of difficulty for many people. And we would call those things natural disasters. But I believe that God can allow these things to happen. It's the finger of God trying to get our attention. And too often we're not listening. God allowed 9/11. That thing that happened back there 20 years ago or so. That thing that happened up there in New York City and out here in western Pennsylvania and some other places. But that was God allowed that to happen, I believe, as a wake-up call for the people of God. And after that, you know, people were saying, God bless America, and all this and that, and it lasted for a little while. And then we forgot all about it. Head down the same path that we had headed down before. I believe God is trying to get our attention. The finger of God. You know, God wrote the Ten Commandments. The Bible says on Mount Sinai, Moses said it was the finger of God that wrote the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai for the children of Israel after they got across the Red Sea with a miraculous deliverance. Again, in Deuteronomy, we read another chapter there where it talks about where Moses was giving instruction to another generation of people. And he uses again the term that those Ten Commandments, the tables of stone, were written by the finger of God. Those commandments still stand today. Those commandments have been given for eternity. We need to obey those commandments as well. But I believe this morning that even natural disasters are allowed by the finger of God to bring people to their senses, to make people realize that there is a higher power. Several things that I'd like to mention this morning that I believe when we talk about disasters and things that have happened in our world, and you know, we've experienced even an election that's been passed that some of us weren't real happy with, and it would not have been the course that we would have taken. It not have been our choice. But I believe it was the finger of God. You know, God can set things in order. I say when Jesus' first advent happened, God had certain people at certain places to perform certain tasks to bring about. He had Mary and Joseph to be at the right place. Prophecy of Scripture, where Scripture said that this child would be born. Even prior to that, he had Mary that he chose. Certain people at certain places to set the stage for Jesus' first advent. I believe that the finger of God is setting the stage for the second advent of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as well. I believe He's setting the stage, having certain people in certain positions. He had Herod at the right place when Jesus came the first time. Different people that performed certain tasks. And I believe that God, I don't know who they are today, but I know that He knows. And I believe He's setting the stage for the end time events. But I want to refer to certain things in Scripture. You know, when you think about the finger of God, there was a finger that says the fingers of a man's hand. No, it wasn't a man's hand. In Daniel, the Old Testament book of Daniel, chapter 5, there was a man by the name of Belshazzar. He was a grandson, I think, if you would figure it out, a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the great king that defied God and throwed the children, three Hebrew children, you know, in the fiery furnace and so on. And had Daniel, when he went up to his house to pray, and the window was open, and that a bunch of characters got together and said, this man's not honoring the king, and he's praying to another king, he's praying to another God. And so they had Daniel throwed in the lion's den. And God delivered. God delivered the three Hebrew children as well. Our God still delivers today. Maybe not always like we think that He should, but He is in the deliverance business, and He'll deliver you from sin today and from ungodliness and unrighteousness. He delivers us. We can be delivered from the power of sin. We can be delivered from the very one day presence of sin. Bless God, we're going to get out of this mess that we're in, this old world that we're living in. But Belshazzar decided to have a feast. And the Bible says that as they were feasting and they were drinking, I'm sure they were drunken, And he asked, told some of his servants to go and get the vessels. They were the golden vessels that had been brought out of the temple over in the land of Egypt, or over in Babylon. He brought them from Jerusalem or wherever the temple was, brought them over when they captured the land and placed them there in Babylon someplace. And while they were drunk, they took these sacred vessels that had been blessed, they had been sanctified to be used for God's service. He said, bring those vessels out. And they poured wine in them and got drunk and had a drunken time. And while they were having this party, the Bible says that there were fingers of a man's hand appeared on the plaster of the wall. It wasn't a whole hand. It was just fingers. And wrote on that wall a message. Meeny, meeny, tinkle you farzen. And they called the magicians to see if they could decipher this and tell them what it was. And they could not. They finally brought Daniel. They knew that Daniel had interpreted some dreams before Nebuchadnezzar's day and so on. So they got Daniel to come on the scene, and he interpreted what it was. He said that you have been weighed in the balances and you're found wanting. And his kingdom was finished. The Bible says following that. Well, he was scared to death. The Bible says the joints of his loins were loose. He shook all over. He lost it. He was scared to death when he saw that fingers of a man's hand. It was God's fingers. God has a hand. The Bible talks about God's hand as well. But the message that hand wrote on the wall that night was a judgment against him because he had desecrated the sacred vessels. I want to mention some things today that I believe that we are desecrating in the day and hour in which we're living. And I see the fingers of a man's hand on the wall today for America. And for this world that I believe is going to be a sign of the judgment of God. But the magicians couldn't interpret it. I want to tell you the scientists today and all the medical professionals and all this kind of stuff don't have the answers to the COVID thing. I believe God allowed that to get our attention. I'm convinced He has. I want to mention some other things this morning. Here as well for just a little while. I don't want to keep you too long. But the magicians couldn't interpret it. And it was judgment. There were judgment upon some other things in Scripture. That the hand of God. Genesis chapter 6. When they had the flood in Noah's day. And some of the people today don't want to believe that there was a flood over the whole earth. But the Bible declares that it was, and I believe the Bible. But that flood was because man's the very thoughts, the Bible says, and the imaginations of man's heart was only evil continually. God was fed up with this world and what was going on. But he found Noah and his wife and three sons and their wives. 8 precious souls were all that was saved. And Jesus himself says, as it was in the days of Noah, and as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. That should be a warning to us today. But the flood brought God's judgment. The finger of God brought the flood on the earth and destroyed everything except that family. And they started over. In 1 Samuel 5 and 6. The Philistines had captured the Ark of God. The Ark of God, which was the presence of God. You know, they took the Ark and moved the Ark. When the Israelites camped in the wilderness, and the Levites would take the Ark, and they would go before the people. Of course, they had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to give direction to the people. They followed that. But the Ark of God was God's presence. And in the battle with the Philistines caught it. They got the ark, captured it. It caused them a lot of problems. They set the thing down in front of Dagon, their god. And the Bible says the next morning they come out and Dagon had fallen on his face. So they set him back up again. And the next night or whenever it was, he fell down again and broke his, I don't know, he broke his head off. He broke in pieces. And then they even looked in that ark. You talk about judgment. They looked in that ark. Now listen to this. Some of you probably don't know this, but the Bible says that they got emeralds in their secret places. They tell me that's hemorrhoids. You know where you get hemorrhoids? In your secret places. They were pretty miserable. I never had that problem, but some people do. And that was a judgment because they looked in to the ark. They looked in the ark of God and they were not supposed to. In 1 Kings chapter 17, Ahab, there was a famine. And we have the account there in, the contest that the prophets of Baal had. They set up their altar and they cut themselves with knives and had a fracas. And God didn't answer. And under dear old Elijah, the one man of God, there was 850 in that crowd, 400 prophets of the grove and 450 prophets that sat at Jezebel's table. And those 850 prophets could not call the fire down from God out of heaven. But Elijah did. He rebuilt the altar. And he prayed and he poured water on the altar. And they poured water on the stones that was around the altar. And dug a ditch and made water. They poured water over all that. And the Bible says that the fire of God fell when Elijah prayed. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal's God, follow him. But the Lord God of heaven answered by fire. Licked up the fire, licked up the sacrifice, licked up the altar and the stones. Made a clean sweep. That's the power of God. But old Elijah said, they had a famine. And of course, it was rain came after that. But in that famine that they had, Ahab blamed Elijah. He said, you're the one that's causing all the trouble in my words around here. And Ahab said, it's not me. It's not me that's causing the famine. It's you and the sins of your people. I believe that's what's going to bring the judgment of God. That's Ahab. Jonah, you know, the Lord said when Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord, he was called to go down to Nineveh. When he fled, the Bible says that the Lord brought a great storm in the sea. And Jonah, they threw him overboard, you know. It was God's judgment. Sodom and Gomorrah was another one where the judgment of God came. The Bible says that Sodom and Gomorrah were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And God had enough of it. And Lot would have never got out of Sodom and Gomorrah had it not been for Uncle Abram. Uncle Abraham. That pled, he said, if there's 50 people there, will you spare it? And God said, yes. Well, if there's 45 there, yes. And on down. Finally, he come down to 10. I think he probably knew. Probably knew that there wasn't very many there. Only 3 of them got out. One of them turned around and became a pillar of salt, the Bible says. But that was God's judgment upon an ungodly city situation. How does God put up with what's going on in America today? Those were actual happenings that happened in the book. We read about them in the scripture. And I like to believe that they are the finger of God. And God done those things as a warning to us in this generation that still have the biblical record that we can read. And I believe, as I said, the hand of God, the hand of the Lord, the finger of God is still directing the affairs of this old world. Why would God bring judgment? Why would God allow some of these things to happen? Let's bring it down to America today. Why would God bring that? I believe one of the things is disregard for the Word of God. Many people today have no regard whatsoever for what God says. It's what Simon says. It's what the authorities say. It's what the Center of Disease, CDC, says. It's what Dr. Fauci says. And he says some things that's all right, but he don't have it all put together. I'll guarantee you he don't. He's changed his... This Bible does not change. Dr. Fauci's changed on this. He's changed on that. Mr. Biden don't have all the answers. He's changed his tune from last... Before November 4, or what was it? Last fall. He's changed his tune now. It's a different tune altogether. But I believe this morning that disregard for the Word of God. I believe desecration of the Lord's Day. There's no regard today whatsoever. You get down the road, there's things people are working just like they do on any other day. Lord's Day should be a day of rest. God rested, the Bible says, on the seventh day from all his labors. I believe killing of the unborn. I'm mentioning some things this morning that I believe are reason why God would be just and perfectly in order to bring judgment upon this world today and this nation. Killing of the unborn. We're worried about frogs and toads and all kinds of birds and stuff like that. And yet we can kill babies, millions of them over the last 30, 40, 50 years since they approved it. The LGBTQ agenda, same-sex marriages, that's a disregard to the Word of God. This thing today of biological gender, that you can choose. My Bible says that God made them male and female. He didn't make something in between that. And he didn't say that we could change what he made either. That's something that's a big thing today. And that's offensive, I believe, to the God of heaven. Would there be any wonder why God would have allowed us to have a president? I believe God sets up whom he will and whom he... He puts up whom he will and puts down whom he will. God's in control. We know that. Disregard for biological gender. Ezekiel 16:49 kind of gives us a couple of things where it talks about Sodom. It says there was pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness. They all contributed to the world situation. I believe the election of the president, as I said, whether it was by fraud, whether it was honest, or whether it was by hook and crook, I don't know. But God allowed it. Nothing passes through unless God allows it. God allowed it, and it might be to get our attention. But I believe that we're nearer today, the end of this age, than we've ever been before. I know there's scoffers. Peter talks about the scoffers will come and they'll say, where is the promise of his coming? You know, for since the fathers fell asleep, things just keep on going about like they are. He says, for this, they are willingly ignorant. People today are willingly ignorant of what the Bible says about end time events and the events of Scripture today. But I believe that God is placing people in the right place. And I believe it's who God wanted it, just whether it was by hook or crook or whatever, fraud or whatever. I'm not the judge of that. But God allowed it to happen. And I believe it might be just setting up things for the end time. It's going to get worse and worse. People say there's going to be a great revival. Well, I haven't seen it yet. And I don't expect to see a worldwide revival. My Bible says the evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And I believe the Church of Jesus Christ needs to rise up in these days and lift up a standard that when the enemy, the Bible says, comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard against it. I'll tell you this morning, I believe that the finger of God is at work today. You know, Jesus one day took his finger and wrote on the ground. There was an adulterous woman
that came, they brought to Jesus. They said, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Well, I don't know, it usually takes two to do that. So there must have been somebody, maybe one of the crowd that brought her. One of that crowd that brought her. And Jesus, they said, Moses' law says we're to stone her to death. He says, what do you say? They tried to catch him in his words. And he stooped down on the ground and began to write. It says he wrote with his finger. I wonder sometimes what he wrote. Maybe he wrote, God loves you. But when he looked up, Jesus said, he that's without sin among you, cast the first stone. And he got to writing on the ground. And when he looked up, he said to the woman, he said, where are these thine accusers? He says, hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. What a beautiful message. I don't know what he must have wrote. He maybe wrote, God loves you. He might have wrote some other things. But the finger of God. Let's keep that in mind this morning. Lord bless you real good for coming out. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll close the service. Heavenly Father, we're thankful again this morning for your love and grace and mercy. Father, we're thankful for each one that's come out to this worship service this morning. We pray that the blessed Holy Spirit will be the after teacher. That you take the message this morning, as poor as it was, watered with the dew from heaven. And some seed, Father, might have been sown in some heart and some life here today. That we might recognize that we are living in difficult times. And that there is the finger of God that we believe even this morning wrote the words of this blessed book. Through inspiration, the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. We believe many of the lessons in this blessed book this morning, the Bible, are even good for this generation and for this people this morning. So we commit this day to you. Help us, our Father, to continue to be bright and shining lights in this dark world in which we live. Forgive us, Lord, where we fail you. Bless us throughout the remainder of this day. And Father, for all that you do, we'll give you the praise, for we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Lord bless you real good for coming out this morning. We're going to have a hymn here to close. And I'm going to come down and watch that. And then we'll just commit you to the Lord. Okay?
Lord, we Mercy and peace from God the Father, Jesus Christ the Son, the Holy Spirit the Comforter. Rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Still raining, it's not too great to go outside and visit.